हरे कृष्ण। सो विल बी कंटिन्यू चैप्टर 13 वर्स 41। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये निश्चुभ्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो टेक्स्ट 41। So as soon as Narad Muni appears, Maharaj used to ask him, right, that about the whereabouts of his uncle and aunt, right? And then in the last verse 40th, we started saying, "You are like a captain of the ship, and I am drowning in the ocean of grief. So please deliver me." So now Narada Muni begins to speak. नारद उवाच मा कंचन सुचोराजन् यदीश्वर वशं जगत् लोका सपालयस्ये मे वहन्ति बलिमीषुतु ससंयुनक्ति भूतानि
Sri Narada said, "O pious king, do not lament for anyone, for everyone is under the control of Supreme Lord. Therefore, all living beings and their leaders carry on worship to be well protected. It is He only who brings them together and disperses them."
Okay, so Narad Muni, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked the whereabouts of his uncle and aunt, right? But Narada Muni first of all tells him that do not lament, right? If he would directly tell that they have gone away and they are in the Himalayas doing austerity, etc., then Yudhishthira Maharaj may faint. So first Narada Muni is giving a philosophical reply, right? If you see, even when Hiranyakashipu asked Pallad Maharaj, right, how have you developed this mati towards Krishna? Pallad Maharaj says, "Matir na Krishne parato sadva." This kind of mati cannot be developed. Those who are grah vratanam, they cannot develop this kind of mati by someone's, you know, telling them, or by their own endeavor, or mithopatiyat, or together by the combination of the two, right? So Pallad Maharaj gives a philosophical reply, right? So it happens many times, you know, person asks some ordinary question, right? And a person may give a philosophical reply to it. It happens sometimes in ordinary dealings also, you know. So so although he asks the whereabout, but first Narada Muni gives a, he's speaking philosophy because he wants to appease Maharaj Yudhishthira and take him, and he wants to appease him so that Maharaj Yudhishthira may stop lamenting, right? He wants to remove the lamentation of Maharaj Yudhishthira. So therefore Narada Muni first of all speak philosophically. So in this verse he begins, Ma kanchan sucho rajan, do not lament, right? For you should understand that everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. So Narada Muni basically saying that what has happened could not be prevented. It is ordained by the Supreme Lord, right? Under whose control this whole world moves. So there is a reply he is giving. Don't consider yourself, oh, because of my offense, etc. He said, no, this could not have been done. This is ordained that he has to leave home at this point of time. So Prabhupada is saying in the middle of the first paragraph, a living being is placed in a particular position by the order of the Supreme Lord and is again shifted from that place by the order of the Supreme Lord or his authorized agents. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Maharaj, Yudhishthir, or in modern history, Napoleon, Akbar, Alexander, Gandhi, Subhash and Nehru are all servants of the Lord, and they are placed in and removed from their respective positions by the supreme will of the Lord. Right? By the supreme will. What is that supreme will? Kala, actually. And the second paragraph says, ordinarily one cannot change the course of one's due happiness and distress by plan. Everyone has to accept them as they come under the subtle arrangement of Kal or invincible time. There is no use trying to counteract them. The best thing is, therefore, one should endeavor to achieve salvation. Okay, go to text 42. Yathagavo nasi protas tantyam baddhas chadam bhi Vagatantyam nam birbhadda Vahanti balimishutu.
As a cow bound through the nose by the long rope is conditioned, as so also human beings are bound by different Vedic injunction and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme.
Okay, so Narad Muni has basically given two. He said, don't lament for 2 points he makes in verse 41st. First of all, Yad Ishwar Vasham Jagat. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Right? Then, Sa Samyunakti Bhutani Sa Evyunakti Cha. He is the one who brings them together and separates them. Everyone is under his control. By his will, people come together. And by his will, they separate. Right? These 2 points. So analogy is given in text 42 and 43 to elaborate these 2 points, right? So text 42 elaborates that how everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Yad Ishwar Vasham Jagat. So how is, just like the cow is controlled by the rope, right, around her nose, and she tied, she can't move. Similarly, Vak Tantyam Nam Birbadha. The word, the Vedic injunctions, they bind the living entity. Right? So there is, everyone is controlled by the Vedic injunctions. One cannot become free. Just see that Nam Birbadha, Vak Tantyam. Vak Tantyam means the rope of words, you know. Someone has pronounced some words. Just like suppose you are traveling in a flight or even within the train or whatever, you know, and it is written smoking not allowed. Vag tantyam, right? You can't violate. Yet you are bound. So many people, they wait for some station to come or they go in between the two bogies and smoke, you know. But inside you cannot smoke. So there is a restriction over there. Right? This is a vag tantyam. One is bound to obey. There is some order pronounced by some authority and you are bound to obey. Is it not? Just like this example, anywhere you go, you see there are Vak Tantyam, right? Then you organization, right? You go in some temple and it's written, remove your shoes over here, right? You can't take it inside. That is, you are bound to obey that. Right? One devotee was saying that remove your shoes, we should add that remove your shoes and false ego over here, you know, before you enter the temple. Should go in the free from false ego, yeah? Remove your shoes as well as false ego. give about designation before you enter the temple of the Lord, right? So, but anyway, the second one may not be binding, that binding. But the first one is binding. Remove your shoes over here. No one can take inside. Right? We see that. Vakatantyam. So they were saying that their scriptures have all the various do's and don'ts for the human being. And they bind. And bind all living beings, especially in the human form of life, right? Those instructions in the scriptures, they bind the human beings. Right? So those Vedic injunctions are in terms of do's and don'ts, right? Or various dharma or adharma, right? So no one can violate that. If the people violate, they actually are punished. So that's how it is. That's how it is binding. That's how it is binding. Therefore, he is explaining that everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord. By the waging injunctions, everyone has to obey. Right? They are just like a rope. But they restrict, right? Just like a rope restricts a cow. So these injunctions restrict the behavior of the human beings. Right? Vak tantyam nam abhir baddha. So, but however, one should understand that these restrictions are just so that the foolish creature may not harm themselves. See why the cow is tied? Because if the cow is let loose, she may just harm herself, you know, somewhere. I've been saying that the cows, they went inside the forest and then there was a forest fire, you know, there is a story in Krishna book, right? When they were just let loose, they may run into a situation which is dangerous for them. So therefore there is restriction. Similarly, human beings, if they are not restricted, they will land up in a very troublesome situation. Right? So these rules and regulations, which human beings think that they are very restrictive, you know, why so many do's and don't do like this, you know, be free. But when they try to actually be free, the human beings harm themselves a lot. You know, they harm themselves and then they for which they have to lament and repent a lot, you know. So, although one may not like these restrictions, another nice example is given, just like there are mad people, you know. Sometime they are put a kind of a jacket, safety jacket, because they may themselves harm their own body, you know. There are some people who are mad, they may harm themselves. So in the they are put a kind of a jacket, you know, there is a kind of safety jacket, protective jacket, so that they may not harm themselves. So these rules and regulations are like that, right? They try to govern so that actually the foolish living entities who become mad after sense enjoyment, they can be restricted and not harm themselves, right? So we see that how. In the West, if you see, because there are so less restrictions, they actually ruin their life, you know. In the madness of sense gratification, they actually ruin their life. And then they don't have any stability throughout the life. So many people become criminals, right? 25% of the total criminals all over the world are in USA. For all the prisoners, if you take the total number of prisoners, 25% are in the USA alone, right? Because no restriction, you know, and people harm themselves a lot, right? They take up criminal activity, then they ruin their life because people do not obey the restriction. Therefore, so these restrictions are for the good actually, right? But anyway, this verse just explained that how every human being is restricted, is controlled, he is not free to act, right? By the words, by the injunction that we just discussed, even ordinary place or ordinary institution, there are so many injunctions and the people are controlled by that. Similarly, the injunction of the Vedas also control. Guru text 43.
यथा क्रीडोपस्काराणां क्रीडोपस्कार संयोग विगमाविहा
इच्छया क्रीडतु स्याताम तथैव इच्छया नृणाम.
The player sets up and disperses his playthings according to his own sweet will. So the supreme will of the Lord brings men together and separates them.
Okay, now this analogy is explaining how people are brought together and they are separated. Right? That's the second thing which he said, Narad Muni in verse 41. So this analogy is given. Right? So, yatha kridop skara nam, right? Krida upskara nam. A player may bring some playthings, you know, together for some time, play for some time, and then disperse them. Similarly, the living entities are brought together, right, by the controller Ishvara, and then they are dispersed, right? So, okay, for this is important. Analogy. Okay, any other analogy you remember which describe that how living entities come together in this world and then they are separated? Yeah, the straw and the leaves and the dried branches fallen from the tree, they float in the river or ocean sometimes, you know, it's mentioned mainly the river, because on the river side there are, you know, they are sometime in the flowing rivers, bring them together and then separates it. Right. So, any other analogy? Clouds are brought together by the wind, and they are separated. That is knowledge is given to illustrate that. Where is that analogy given? You heard somewhere? Okay. Yeah, that is seventh canto analogy. Said in a restaurant, people come. They meet and dine together, they exchange greetings, this and that, you know, may develop some friendship, etc. But then they go away. Then they go away. Right? So if you see the three analogies, the first analogy in this verse is that just a player brings the things and after he plays, he disperses. That means living entities are helplessly brought, right, by somebody. The restaurant analogy says the living being, they themselves come, you know, people come to the restaurant, dine, greet each other, and then they go away. Right? The first says that someone, unknown force, bring them together, or there is a person, the supreme controller, the controller brings them together, disperses. Another analogy says the living entity comes themselves together, and then they disperses. And the third analogy says the river, you know, not the, there is just the The they are brought together, the none of them, it's not the living entity wanted to come and there is some other person who has brought them together, but just in due course of time, you know, they come together and separate. So if you see three analogies, which one, how are you going to reconcile the three? First say there is a controller, second say living entity themselves come together, third in due course of time anyway they come together, you know, the river, some other factor is there. Due course of time they come together and are separated. So how do you reconcile the three? Three different analogies. Who? Yeah, right. So there are more causes sometimes than just one cause. So all are responsible in that sense. Okay, so the living entity, they want to enjoy variously, etc. So the living entity comes together by its own desire, because by its own desire to enjoy, the living entity has come to this material world, right? But living entity alone is not the cause. Then the time factor, you know, in due course of time, the time factor brings certain people together and the time factor separates them. Right? So then what is this player analogy? You know, the player brings them together. It looks like, so are human beings playthings? In a sense, someone may say that, oh, is someone playing with our emotions? You know, they just whimsically someone has brought us together for some time and in affection and then just separated. The gopis complained actually. They said, what is this, ho vidatam tavana kuchit daya, ho vidah, o providence, you have no mercy. You bring people together in friendship and love, but before they have fulfilled their desire, you separate them just like a child brings some playthings together and just, you know, the child brings some playthings together and then it just removes them. So your activities are like of that child. You just bring people together and separate them. This is so whimsical. This analogy looks little whimsical. You know, the playthings, a player brings them together, separates them. What about the emotions? What do you say about this analogy? Yeah. Anyway, Prabhupada answers that, right? So the, basically, the living entities are brought together and separated. It is the kala factor, right? But the kala brings people's own destiny. So the people are also responsible, right? Because of their desires, they come. Different people meet different people as per their desires to enjoy or whatever, right? So the kala is a factor. But behind the kala, there is a person also, right? So therefore, this analogy gives that there is a person also. It's not that just the rules are there, you know. Just like when we say that these are the rules and regulations. Prabhupada says the government is impersonal. But the king is a person. There is a one person also. One we say is the government. Government is an impersonal word. But there is a person also. So there is a kaal factor brings them. But there is a person also. This analogy shows that there is a person who can change the law also. Sometimes we say there is a law. Okay, the law has to go on. That means, then anyway, then where is the question of Supreme Lord then, you know? It's a local living entity's own reaction, own fruitive activities, own karma brings them together and separate, right? And the call facilitates that, the time factor, in due course of time it happens, right? And where is the Lord comes then? So Prabhupada says, we must remember that the Lord is the Supreme Will and He is not bound by any law. Above this law is the Supreme Lord, who by His intervention can change it. That factor should also, you should not be thinking that this is the law is made, now nothing is in the hand of the Supreme Lord also, you know. Abhi ye rule ban gaya, abhi the rule is more powerful than the ruler, no? Sometimes he said, everyone has to obey this rule. Now there is no question of anyone interfering. No, so therefore there is a person who brings, right? That is his rule. The person has been brought, not to say that anyone who whimsically, but this analogy just shows that that the Supreme Lord is still always in control of every situation. If he wishes, he can change the law also. Fine. So in this way, we understand these three analogies. Okay, we go to text 44. So three verses are related. 41 was, what was said was 41 has been explained in 42 and 3. Yes.
To with that Supreme Lord, like sometimes this reason is given, like he wanted to. Like by Bhishma Dev also says, by Leelaya he has created this thing, wanted to enjoy. So sometimes in the world we hear that Supreme Lord has created like a plaything, the same analogy. But that time we hear that because he wanted to enjoy, he is making us suffering. Like because of his plaything, we are all made as pawns in his play game and we are suffering.
Yeah. See, so what do we understand from there is that how play things, when he says, it doesn't connote that that just whimsically, you know, etc. It's plaything that effortlessly the Supreme Lord creates, you know, for his enjoyment. But it doesn't mean that that plaything doesn't connote whimsical. It's so that effortlessly, you know, the Supreme Lord, the Lord, effortlessly, just like a play, the person doesn't involve much effort, you know. It's a, so therefore, Supreme Lord just effortlessly creates, right? But there are rules governing everything, right? And those rules govern all the living entities. But the Supreme Lord is above. So the Supreme Lord has created this facility for the living entities, and for his own purpose he comes and enjoys with his devotees various pastimes, you know, so like that. So both, you understand? Yeah. Okay, yes Prabhu.
This here is
which you are referring, which
42
yes,
Vatantyam Namabir Baddha.
Yeah,
in the purport Srila Prabhupada refers to Namabir as being Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra.
Yeah,
and writes that we are bound according to the laws for the respective Varnas and Ashramas.
Yeah,
Prabhupada extends that to the modern day scenario where he compares that to Americans, Chinese, Indians, Europeans and their consequent legislative laws.
Yeah.
And he says that we are bound by these codes even if we want to be free.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, what is Narada's point in mentioning Namabir Baddha to Yudhishthira at this stage? Is he trying to tell Dhritarashtra, Yudhishthira Maharaj, that Dhritarashtra is bound by his duties as a vanaprastha in the kingly order, and so therefore don't worry about him? Is that the intent?
See, basically, as I said, that the point Narad Muni is making, that yad ishwar vasham jagat, okay, that how he is elaborating the second line of 41, that everything is controlled by the Supreme Lord.
Hmm.
Okay, so then example is given how is controlled. The point he is making is that this is the will of the Lord now, that he has to go now. He cannot reside here anymore.
Hmm.
So don't consider yourself responsible. That is the point he is making to convey to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Right? But now that point has been elaborately explained by Prabhupada. But what Narada Muni means, that you could not have prevented it. You could not have prevented it. Don't lament. It is the will of the Lord that now he is in that situation. Right? So it is the will of the Lord that has moved him. For everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. The whole world. Now how the whole world is... Now the generic explanation of the how the whole world is controlled by the Supreme Lord. Is the whole world is controlled by the Supreme Lord by the Vakatantyam, right? By the Vedic injunctions. And Namabhi, yeah, I said there are various designations. So various injunctions apply to various people who have these various designations. So this is now more generic, right? But the point is that everyone is controlled. And now this is also happening, the Supreme Lord is in control, right? So you don't consider yourself to be responsible. It is his will that has moved him away and in that situation. That is the point being made. Right?
And is this Namapir the methodology by which laws are imposed upon living entities in this world?
By? Various
designations. That's how laws are imposed upon people generally.
Yeah, the various injunctions apply to various people who have various designations, right? Various injunctions for the Brahmanas, Vaishya, Shudra, like that. Yeah, like that.
And there's just one question in the purport itself. Prabhupada writes that the liberated living entity, once again, in his liberated state, he renders service to the Lord in transcendental love. and thus enjoys a life of full freedom, even sometimes on an equal level with the Lord, or sometimes more than the Lord.
Where is that?
It's towards the bottom of the purport.
Okay.
Maybe 3-4 lines.
7-8 lines. In his liberated state, he renders service to the Lord in transcendental love, and thus enjoys a life of full freedom, even sometime on an equal level with the Lord, or sometime more than the Lord.
Is this a specific reference to the like the parents of the Lord, or is there, I mean, in which situation does a living entity enjoy more freedom than a Lord?
Yeah, see, this is the Lord's perspective in that sense, you know. As the Lord tells Nityananda Prabhu that you can do what I cannot do, you know, he tells him, Amara duskaram kam toma haite hai. What I can't achieve, you can achieve that you have. So Prabhupada writes that by the will of the Lord, he may empower his person to do more than him. Mm-hmm. Right? So it is the Lord may award, he may say, I am not free to do this, but you know, you can do this, you know. By his empowerment, a Lord may award greater freedom. You know, the Lord said, I can't go to Bengal due to some restrictions which he had on his own, right? Some social restrictions, but you go. You can preach to, you can go within the even the bars and all these places, you know. He mentioned Nityananda Prabhu, and he will go there and, you know, preach over there. Lord said, I can't go, you know. You know, you understand it? This freedom is by the mercy of the Lord, he may give even a greater freedom or a greater empowerment to his devotee. So it refers to that over here.
Does it perhaps refer to a devotee who is controlled by the Swarup Shakti of the Lord, who has the ability to control the Lord completely by his own actions? Does it also refer to that?
I didn't get you.
For one who has prema bhakti,
uh-huh,
and who can control the Lord by his love,
uh-huh,
or her love, does this sentence refer to that also? For instance, if the elderly gopis of Vrindavan tell Krishna to dance for half a sweet,
yeah. You know, this statement refers to all these pure devotees only, especially those who have no awe and reverence, you know. This statement was very well referred to Mother Yashoda also, you know, who has more freedom because she bound the Lord, you know. So she is free while the Lord is bound up. So it is the Lord, by his own sweet will, he becomes bound up. So like it refers to that also.
So then who actually has more freedom? The Lord has more freedom than his energies, or his energy has more freedom than the Lord?
Yeah, see, always the tattva point of view, the Lord is always the supreme and has more freedom. But in his leela, he may like his devotees to have more freedom. So he may empower his devotees more than him, to do more than him, by his own sweet will. From the siddhant tattva point of view, the Lord is always the supreme. Right? But in his exchange of loving mellows, the Lord may, because he is the supreme, so he can, if he wants, he can empower his devotees more than himself. What he can't do, his devotees can do by the empowerment of the Lord. But the devotee never in tattva becomes greater. He becomes greater because the Krishna considers him to be greater, or Krishna wants him to be in that position. Right? Just like that. Okay, which verse we were? 44, right? 44 we have to read, right? 43rd we already covered, yeah. Okay, so Narad Muni continues. Yan manase dhruvam lokam adhruvam vana chobhayam sarvathan nahi shochyaste snehadanyatra mohajat.
O King, in all circumstances, whether you consider the soul to be an eternal principle, or the material body to be perishable, or everything to exist in impersonal absolute truth, or everything to be an inexplicable combination of matter and spirit, feelings of separation are due only to illusory affection and nothing more.
Okay, so he says, whatever may be one's philosophy of life, right, four broad categories are given, philosophy of life. Someone says, everything is finished with the body, you know. The first kind of philosophy about life. Other says, hey, the soul is eternal. Other says, what soul is eternal? After all, Brahman, right? The soul will merge into Brahman. Soul is, right? It's just it's time, temporary conditioning, but it will merge with Brahman. So some people consider Dhruvam, right? The Dhruvam means the soul is eternal. Adhruvam, the soul, the material body is all in all, it will finish, right? Va na cho abhyam, or the combination of the two, or nothing of the two, that is explained. Okay, so whether you consider the soul to be eternal, Dhruvam, or the material body to be perishable, Adhruvam, or everything to exist in the personal absolute truth, nothing, not both of these, but soul is a part of Brahman, it will merge into Brahman. So matter is not a reality, individuality of the soul is not a reality, but Brahman is a reality. Okay, everything is Brahman, it will merge into Brahman. That is the third philosophy of life. Fourth is the combination of the two. Here the matter is there and the soul is there. So this, both are eternal. The life is the combination of the two. Inexplicable combination of matter and spirit. Right? So therefore, in either case, Narad Muni says, in either case, whatever may be the philosophy of life, right? In either case, feeling of separation are due to illusory affection. Right? Just to quickly give the example, if someone says, okay, the life is eternal, the soul is eternal. Okay, but if the soul is eternal, there is nothing like this is my auntie's soul, this is my uncle's soul. Soul has no relation. The relationship, the soul is only related to the Supreme Soul. Right? Then we forming relationships are illusory. And if you say that everything is matter, then that the matter always transforms. Right? So your affection for a particular transformation of matter is illusion, because the matter is always transformed. The earth has transformed into brick has transformed into the house, but your affection, that is my house, that is illusory, because the matter is going to transform, this house will no longer be there. Said, whatever may be your philosophy of life, right, in either case, your affection, which is causing your lamentation, right, your lamentation which is due to your affection is only illusory. It is a false relationship which you have established. In either case, either you consider the matter or the soul or the combination, your lamentation, you should not lament in either case. Like Krishna also, there is the same argument in Bhagavad Gita also, no? Same argument is in Bhagavad Gita also. So either may the philosophy may be whatever you said of life, but in any case there should be no lamentation. There should be no lamentation based on one's own philosophy. Right? So like that. That's what Narad Muni is saying, that give up lamentation, there should be no cause of lamentation. Guru text 45. Tasma jayanga veklavyam ajnana kritam atmana katham tu anatha kripana varte ramste cha mam vina.
Therefore, give up your anxiety due to ignorance of the self. You are now thinking of how they who are helpless poor creatures will exist without you.
Okay, so was the lamentation of Yudhishthira Maharaj appropriate? What do you say? Yes. No, first of all, you say, was the lamentation appropriate? You say, yes. Yes, because of being relation. The relation. Yeah, he knew the philosophy, you are saying. He knew the philosophy. Yeah. So, yes, his lamentation is appropriate from the human perspective. As we said, it's all, we have to always view from what perspective what is being spoken. But Narada Muni is saying, but you can't just continue with this human perspective. Now is the time to give it up. You know, you may have one perspective, but then you can't continue with that. He said, now you have to give that perspective, and now you come to the see the situation from the transcendental perspective. Fine, he was your uncle, from human perspective you lamented, but now you have to give up that perspective. Now take up the transcendental perspective. So is the at right time you have to make the transition also, you know. You may be right at some point of time. But then if you extend that, then it becomes wrong. You can't extend with that perspective. Fine, you lamented for some time, your uncle, okay, fine now. Now see the things from transcendental perspective. So therefore, Narayana is saying, now give up all that lamentation. Fine? He's not saying, why did you lament at all, you know. No. Lamentation was there from human perspective, but now it has to be given up. Now is the time. Text 46. Kal karma gunadhino dehoyam pancha bhautika कथम अन्यांस्तु गोपायेत सर्पग्रस्तो यथा परम.
This gross material body made of five elements is already under the control of eternal time, kala, action, karma, and the modes of material nature, guna. How then can it, being already in the jaws of the serpent, protect others?
Okay, so Narada Muni is saying, you have been thinking that, oh, how will Yudhishthira Maharaj be maintained without me? He's so helpless. Narada Muni is saying, everyone is helpless. How can any helpless person actually extend help to other? It's the Supreme Lord who is maintaining. It's not that we are maintaining, no? We are ourselves helpless. So very nicely he says, kalm karma guna adhino. Every living entity is helplessly under the control of these three factors. Kal, karma, and guna. Right? A lot can be said and discussed on this. First of all, Vishnuji Thakur says, but you said yad ishvaram vasham jagat in the text 41, the knowledge of the cow controlled by the rope, that everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord, vakatantam, as we discussed. You said the world is controlled by the Lord, right? But now you are saying that every living entity is controlled by kal guna and kal karma and guna. So, which one is true? I said everything is controlled by the Lord. I said, but everything is controlled by the Kal, Karma, and Guna. Right? So, if everything is controlled by the Lord, then how is it that this everything is also controlled by the Kal and the Karma and the Guna? Yes, actually, you should understand, when you say that everything is controlled by the Lord, it's not that Lord is personally, it's controlled by this Kal, Karma, and Guna only. They are the controller. Right? This world is also has been described as a form of the Lord. Right? This universe is not different from the Lord, it's been described, right? So basically, when he said Ishwaram, when Ishwar is controlling, we always tend to think that the Lord is in his personal form as Swayam Bhagavan is controlling. But actually, all living entities are controlled by various energies of the Lord. Right? So, therefore, everything in this world, including time and karma, is the effect of Lord energies. Right? So all these factors are the effects of the Lord energies only. So they are controlling when the Lord is controlling. If the jailer is in control, that means the government is in control. That understanding has to be there. So many times it is mentioned that it's actually the Supreme Lord, right, controlling. But actually, fine, but through what, which energy of the Supreme Lord is controlling? Right? Yeah. The guna, the three modes of material nature are controlling. The kaal is also controlling. The karma is also controlling. Every living entity is helpless. So all these are controlling means the Supreme Lord is controlling. Under whose control are these factors also? They are the facts of his energies. You understand? So that how everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord is in more detail explained over herein. So how is everyone under the control of the kaal? Right? Because the kaal change, the kaal brings about change in everything, right? No one can counteract it. One has to, right, including one's own body, right? So Prabhupada said in the purport, somewhere in the middle, above the modes of material nature is eternal time, which is called kaal, because it changes the shape of everything in the material world. It changes the shape of everything. And the ultimate change is the death. The last change, you know. So therefore the kaal is many times synonymous with kaal sarpa, or the one who finally bring this change, the death, right? Which everyone fears, this particular change. So everyone is under the control of kaal. If someone says that the kaal brings everything in cycle, you know, the chakra, everything. So one or the rainy season is going to come. Is there anyone who can change what the kaal will bring? The rainy season, then winter season, then the summer. If someone says, I don't like summer, you know, let the winter only. Has anyone had the power to stop that the winter only prevail? Here the summers may not come. Summers will come. No one can, right? So everyone is controlled by the kaal. It will bring, all these things will be brought. The change of the body, no, Prabhupada says no one wants old age. Or the old age will come, the kaal will bring in. One is helpless, right? No one wants it, but the kaal will bring it. So everyone is controlled by the kaal, right? So then how is everyone controlled by the karma? According to the karma, we get a different bodies, right? And then one is controlled, one is limited by that body, right? This body is limiting us, is it not? Then one enjoys particular kind of happiness or suffers according to one's own body, right? He's not free actually. As per this body, one gets a particular amount of happiness and distress, right? A particular amount of facilities, right? This human body, one cannot fly. Although there is a huge urge in the human being that he may fly, but one is controlled. This body is limited. One just can't do that, right? So one has a particular body. So that body exerts a control. One can't break free from that body. Right? Then according to one's karma or according to the modes of material nature which one has acquired, right? Then one is helpless in the hands of the modes of material nature. Right? Prakriti kriya manani, that explains the control of the gunas. Right? prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasha ahamkar vimunatma karta aham iti mani. Krishna says the gunas are acting, right? The gunas are controlling. So this says, so Narada Muni is saying that everyone in a helpless situation in this material world, being controlled by kal, karma and guna, how can a helpless person help any other helpless person? Okay. Basically he wants to bring in that the Supreme Lord is the only one who is actually can help, and he is the only maintainer. That point he is bringing. Okay. Text 47. Hastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam phalguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam.
Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another.
Okay, so this is Narada Muni saying, since everyone is helpless, no one can help or protect others. Krishna alone is a maintainer. Right? So Krishna is going to, he's saying, do not lament, Krishna will maintain your uncle and aunt. Krishna is the maintainer. And Krishna has already established the rule for the maintenance of every living entity. So this is being described in the verse. How Krishna has already established the rule for the maintenance of every living entity. What is that rule? Ahastani sahastanam. Those who do not have hands, they are eaten up by those who have hands. That means animals are the foods of humans. Krishna Chakra Thakur says, Ahastani sahastanam. So the animals are the food of humans. Apadani, he said, what is this? We'll discuss. And we complete this first, the full verse. So Krishna Chakra Thakur says, Ahastani, those who do not have hands, animals. Specifically he says, animals are the food for humans. Apadani chatushpadam, those who do not have legs, the trees, etc., they are eaten up by the animals. In general, phalguni tatra mahatam, a weaker is eaten up by the stronger. Jivo jivasya jivanam. This is the rule of the maintenance of every living entity set forth by the laws, by the Lord, right? These are laws of material nature. Yeah, whatever, survival for fittest, or yeah, this is the rule of the material nature that weaker living entity is the food of the stronger living entity in general. And ahastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam. So, non-vegetarian people can quote this verse, because this says the animals are the food for humans. Ahastani sahastanam. Right? So therefore he is saying, because the rule is set, so therefore he is saying that for the renounced person, maintenance through leaves, fruits and flowers have been arranged by the Lord. Since your uncle and aunt will be maintained, Narada Muni is saying, the Lord has, for the those who are in the renounced order of life, those who go to the Himalayas and all that, they will eat some leaves, fruits, flowers, roots, and they will be maintained. It's all arranged by the Lord. Just like for all living entities, there is arrangement made by the Lord for their maintenance. So why should you be so much worried? Don't lament. The rule is there for maintenance. Okay, now coming to ahastani sahastanam, right? That animals are the food of human. This is a general rule. But Prabhupada says in the middle of the first paragraph, but although the law states that a human being must subsist on another living being, there is the law of good sense also. This is a general law. Okay? Prabhupada is saying, but there are higher laws to be followed by human beings. This is a common law for every living entity, you know. But human beings have higher laws to be followed. That is the point. For the human being is meant to obey the laws of the scriptures, right? Which is impossible for the animals. Human life is specially meant for self-realization, and for that purpose, right, he should not eat. Although the general rule may be there, but there is a more specific rule. Right? But there is a more specific rule to be followed by human beings. Fine? So that should... And then Prabhupada is saying that in the second paragraph, exploitation of the weaker living being by the stronger is the natural law of existence. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. So this is the general law of existence, exploitation of the weaker living being by the stronger. Right? And there is always an attempt to devour the weak in different kingdoms of living beings. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. It can be checked only by awakening the spiritual sense of human beings. Right? There are communists who say, no, why should the poor living being be exploited by the rich class, you know? They are stronger, why should they should be exploited at why they expand this and that? So Prabhupada mentioned this is a general law. But if it has to be checked, there cannot be any artificial means. If only the spiritual consciousness is awakened, then this can be checked. Right? So a general law may be there that just like a living entity, no one should kill each other, you know, the human beings. There could be general law. Right? A general law for everybody. I said there are higher laws which say that there should be love and cooperation and all that, you know. You understand? So general law may be there, but there are higher laws to be followed. That's the whole point. That we don't deny that this general law, that by the rule of the general law, the animals are the food for human beings, which so many people eat actually. You know, that general law is what? The weaker living entity is the food for the stronger. That is the general law, but that is a body conscious law, you know. But human beings are supposed to transcend that bodily consciousness. That is the point. Guru text 48. Tadidam Bhagavan Rajan Ek Atma Atmanam Sudrek Antaro Anantaro Bhati Pashyatam Maya Yorudha.
Therefore, O King, you should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second, and who manifests himself by different energies, and is both within and without.
Okay, so Narada Muni is instructing that you should look to the Supreme Lord only. He will maintain and he will give protection, right? A helpless living entity cannot help another living entity. Right? So, Prabhupada says that how a living entity experiences so-called happiness and distress in the material world. Such experiences, this is in the middle of the purport, such experiences are all ephemeral and do not affect the spirit soul. The perception of such ephemeral happiness and distress is due only to the forgetfulness of his qualities, which are equal to the Lord's. There is, however, a regular current from the Lord himself, from within and without, by which to rectify the fallen condition of the living entity. Right? There is a regular current from the Lord himself, from both within and without, as the verse is saying, right? He is one without a second and who manifests himself by different energies and is both within and without. Right? So one should look onto the Supreme Lord, just little ahead of that. one should look unto the Lord, one should not be disturbed by the so-called manifestations of happiness or distress, but he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. Right? So he's saying that don't lament, this is all the plan of the Lord, you are expected to cooperate with the plan of the Lord. Soyam adhya maharaja Bhagavan bhuta bhavana Kala rupa vatirnoy syam Abhavaya suradvisham.
That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, in the guise of all-devouring time, Kala Rupa, has now descended on earth to eliminate the enemies from the world.
Okay. So, Narada Muni is informing him that the Supreme Lord Krishna, right, he has descended as the Kala Rupa to eliminate the envious from the world. Prabhupada talks about two kinds of human being, the envious and the obedient. And Prabhupada says his designation is the middle of the purport. His designation as Kal in disguise is significant. He is not at all dangerous, but he is the transcendental form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. For the devotees, his factual form is disclosed, and for the non-devotees, he appears like Kal Roop, which is causal form. This causal form of the Lord is not at all pleasing to the Asuras. And therefore they think of the Lord as formless in order to feel secure that they will not be vanquished by the Lord. So the Vishwanath Thakur also says, appearing to the demons as a form of time, he destroys them. Actually, he has a form of supreme bliss, but for the demons, he appeared as time. Right? So to the devotees, the Lord's factual form is revealed, but for the people in general, those who are disobedient to him, the Lord comes as in the form of Kal, and the form of the Kal is very fearsome, therefore it is described as Kal Sarpa. He comes to devour, right? He comes to destroy ultimately. Text 50. Nishpaditam devakrityam avashesham pratikshate tavad yuyam avikshadvam bhavedyavadiheshvara.
The Lord has already performed his duties to help the demigods and he is awaiting the rest. You Pandavas may wait as long as the Lord is here on earth.
Okay, so here Narada Muni just after finishing his instruction, he is saying the Lord appeared in this world, he performed certain duties to help the demigods, and few more things are yet to be performed. And you people just wait as long as he is there on the earth. After that, you may also depart, kind of. So, Prabhupada says, Narada-like Vidura did not disclose the imminent annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, but indirectly gave a hint to the king and his brothers to wait till the incident happened and the Lord departed. Right, so Narada Muni also just gives a hint over here in Maharaj Yudhishthir. Dhritarashtra sahabhratra Gandharya cha swabharya Dakshinena himavata Rishinamashramam gata.
O King, your uncle Dhritarashtra, his brother Vidura and his wife Gandhari have gone to the southern side of the Himalayas mountains, where there are shelters of the great sages.
Okay, so Narad Muni gives 10 instructions to dispel the lamentation of Maharaj Yudhishthir, 41 to 50. And now in 6 verses, he gives the actual information which Maharaj Yudhishthir asked. Where are my uncle and aunt, right? So now 51 to 56, he talks about them and informs them where they have gone and how they are doing. Okay? So then they have gone to the southern side of the Himalayan mountains, where there are shelters of the great sages. Shroto bhi sapta bhirya vai, swarduni sapta dha vidhat, sapta naam prita yenana, sapta shrota prachakshate.
The place is called Sapta Shrota, divided by 7, because there the waters of the sacred Ganges were divided into 7 branches. This was done for satisfaction of the 7 great rishis.
Okay, so they think he is there in a place called Saptashrot. There are the Ganges flow in 7 branches for the satisfaction of 7 sages. There will maybe some stories there, right? Some, you will have to do some research to find out, right? But for the pleasure of 7 great sages, the Ganges divides there at this place. And Dhritarashtra is there. 53. Snatva anusavanam tasmin hutva jagnin yathavidhi avabhaksha upashantatma savaste vigitaishana.
On the banks of Saptashrota, Dhritarashtra is now engaged in beginning Ashtanga Yoga by bathing 3 times daily, in the morning, noon and evening, by performing the Agnihotra sacrifice with fire and by drinking only water. This helps one control the mind and the senses and frees one completely from thoughts of familial affection.
Okay, so Prabhupada mainly talks about that the yoga system, he says, is a mechanical way to control the senses and the mind and divert them from matter to spirit. This is the purpose. Again, in the middle of the purport, he says, little before the first, the middle part, by material association and education, we learn simply to concentrate on flimsy things. But yoga is the process of forgetting them altogether. So Prabhupada is saying that whatever we have been focusing on, whatever nonsense material we have learned, yoga is the process to undo all that. And he criticized modern yoga, right, which increased the bodily consciousness heavily. Again and again Prabhupada says, yoga is meant to take the mind away from the matter toward the spirit. So that Prabhupada mainly talks about that part. And then Prabhupada, toward the end of the purport, the 6th, 7th line, he says, a foolish man wants to be a cheap yogi without observing the regulative principles. He's saying Dhritarashtra was fasting and they eat very luxurious things and do yoga to digest them and, you know, all that. He said a foolish man wants to be a cheap yogi without observing the regulative principle. That means the fasting here is mentioned. A man who has no control over the tongue at first can hardly become a yogi. Yogi and bhogi are two opposite terms. Yogi and bhogi are two opposite terms. Nicely Prabhupada puts, you know. He comes very heavily upon the so-called yogis. Prabhupada said they are actually bhogis only, you know. For the bhoga they are doing yoga. So it's not yoga altogether. It's a part of the bhoga. Jitasano jitashwasa pratyahrita sadindriyat hari bhavanaya dhvasta raja sattva tamo mala.
One who has controlled the sitting posture, the yogic asanas and the breathing processes can turn the senses toward the absolute personality of Godhead and thus become immune to the contamination of the modes of material nature, namely mundane goodness, passion and ignorance.
So basically, performance of Ashtanga Yoga, a yogi has to become free from the control of the mode, the material nature. Vijnanatmani samyojya Shetragge parivilapetam Brahmanne atmanamadhare Ghatambaram vivambare.
This thrust will have to amalgamate his pure identity with intelligence and then merge into the Supreme Being with knowledge of his qualitative oneness as a living entity with the Supreme Brahman. Being freed from the blocked sky, he will have to rise to the spiritual sky.
That's just the process. The strong yogis, the way it has been created, they reverse the process of creation, and that has been described. Will be detailed more in second canto by Balram Shakti Prabhu. 56. Dhast Maya Gunodar Ko Niruddh Karanashaya Nivartit Akhilahara Aste Sthanuri Vachala Tasyantarayo Mevabhu Sanyasta Akhila Karmana.
He will have to suspend all the actions of the senses, even from the outside, and will have to be impervious to interactions of the senses, which are influenced by the modes of material nature. After renouncing all material duties, he must become immovably established beyond all sources of hindrances on the path.
Okay, so Narada Muni is saying finally, the sixth in the verse which is spoken, giving what is, how are they, what are they, how they're faring. So he's saying, so after describing everything, the performance of Ashtanga Yoga, now he's saying, Tasya antara yo meva bhu. You do not now go and pose any hindrance. Sanyast akhila karmana. Right? For now he's renouncing, he's walking on the path of renunciation. He's already renounced all the material relations and affections. Right? So the Prabhupada says in the middle of the purport, Maharaj Yudhishthir was advised by Narada not to disturb his uncle by attempting to bring him back home. He was now beyond the attraction of anything material. And this is important here. 57. Savai Adhyata Nadrajan Parta Panchamehani Kalevaram Hasyati Swam Tachya Bhasmi Bhavishyati.
O King, he will quit his body most probably on the fifth day from today, and his body will return to ashes.
Okay, so Maharaj Yudhishthir may say, but can I go to just, I will not bring him back, can I go to just see him over there? Narada Muni is saying, he will, from fifth day from now, he will give up his body. So you don't have to go to see him. Right? You may not reach him also to, it's a far off place, is gone. Right? And then Maharaj Yudhishthir may say, okay, he's giving up his body, then I'll go to perform the last rites. So Maharaj Muni is saying, Tachya Bhasmi Bhushyati, he will himself do that. He will himself burn his body. You don't have to go for that also. Right? By mystic fire, he will burn his body. Dahyamane agni bhirdehe Patyu patni sahottaje Bahistita patim sadvi Tam agnim manu vekshati.
While outside observing her husband, who will burn in the fire of mystic power, along with his thatched cottage, his chaste wife will enter the fire with rapt attention.
Okay, so Yudhishthira Maharaj may say, okay, but I will go and bring my aunt Gandhari. That she is also going to follow him. When he is burning, she will enter that fire. Right? And Prabhupada says, this entering in the sixth line of the purport, sixth or seventh, this entering of a chaste lady into the fire of her husband, of her dead husband, is called the Sati rite. and the action is considered to be the most perfect for a woman. Right? But he said it became an obnoxious criminal affair because it was forced upon even an unwilling woman. Right? So Prabhupada gives both sides, you know, that this is actually, this sati ride is not to be condemned by those who can do it or those who did it at that time. They were very chaste. And Prabhupada points out the internal reason also. Prabhupada says, a chaste wife, see, skip 2-3 lines and see, a chaste wife like Gandhari would feel the separation of her husband to be more burning than the actual fire. This was the reason for their, right? This was the logical reason that they could not tolerate the separation from their husband. That was their attachment and chastity to their husband. So therefore, their committing sati was most perfect action, Prabhupada says. But then it became a criminal, obnoxious criminal activity, just because it was forced. 59. Vidurastuda dasharyam nishamya guru nandana harsha shoka yutastasmat ganta tirtha nishevaka.
Vidur, being affected with delight and grief, will then leave that place of sacred pilgrimage.
Okay, so Yudhishthira said, okay, but I'll go and bring Vidura back. Narada Muni is saying he will also leave for Tirtha Nishevaka, will go on Tirtha Yatra, right, to serve the holy places. So you don't go, basically Narada Muni is saying that it's all is ordained by the will of the Lord, everything. So you don't have to bother yourself, you don't have to go behind them. And Vidura is joyful to see that his brother has attained a spiritual goal. And he is in grief just as a worldly custom. You know, my brother has died. And then he's pointed out how Dhritarashtra actually attained liberation. He didn't obtain the love for the Supreme Lord. Right? It should be understood that Dhritarashtra, Vishwanath Thakur says, it should be understood that Dhritarashtra, being an offender to the devotees, attained only liberation and not love for Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, after many such liberated states of life, one can attain the stage of devotional service. Iti yuktva at aruha, iti yuktva at aruhatswargam, aruhatswargam narada sahatumbaro, yudhishthiro vachastasya, hridi kritva jahash, Shusha.
Having spoken thus, the great sage Narada, along with his Veena, ascended into outer space. Yudhishthira kept his instructions in this heart and so was able to get rid of all lamentations.
Okay, so the Narada Muni with his Veena, he went to the outer space after dispersing the lamentation and informing him that his uncle will attain a higher destination. Right? And Prabhupada just says at the last line of the purport, Maharaj Yudhishthira was a pious king and therefore who could see Narada Muni occasionally. Anyone who desires to see Narada Muni must first be a pious and follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni, or follow in the footsteps of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Okay, so we will continue chapter 14, and chapter 14, there is not much philosophy, it's just the news of Krishna disappearing. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquiring, putting various questions, right, various bad omens, etc., as we'll study. So we'll try to complete this chapter, because, yes. That Maharaj Yudhishthira goes to the forest?
He goes to the forest and he meets them there in the forest.
Okay.
is Krishna Dwaipayana. Krishna Valley. No, no. Original Ganguly, Krishna Mohan
Ganguly. Anyway, see, we many times we understand the difference that it's not the one time this happens, right? So from Bhagavatam perspective, Narada Muni is saying there is no need to go, right? In order to go, they will anyway leave, and you know, you just carry out the will of the Supreme Lord, right? You cooperate in his mission in this world. So that is the Bhagavatam. Actually, we should understand that's how the Bhagavatam version is always. It's not. I would not say that it's. That it has been distorted or kind of actually something happened and Bhagavatam is giving us, right? As you know, this pastime happens so many times, right? But Bhagavatam give that version which is pertaining to the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So therefore Bhagavatam is very special, right? And there are stories of Bhagavatam will focus only on the pure devotional aspect. The stories of Bhagavatam may have many more details in other Puranas, right? Pertains to dharma, artha, kama, moksha, but Bhagavatam kicks them all out, and Bhagavatam focuses on pure devotional service alone, and brings in that message, right? Although the other scriptures may give some other details, and their focus is different. So Bhagavatam's focus is different. You know, a same incident can be narrated by different people with a different focus. You know. What is their focus of narrating, right? So even the stories of Mahabharata, a person maybe can be narrated in a way to bring out the pure devotional lessons, although Mahabharata doesn't focus on that itself, right? But a person may bring in some story and derive some lessons pertaining in the line of Bhagavatam. That is also possible. It is a question of what is the focus of each scripture, right? So therefore details will differ. Yes.
That Dhritarashtra went he went for a higher purpose. He left home. So this Yudhishthira Maharaj being responsible, he was still lamenting. So of course Narada Muni comes and consoles. But we see that Shastras also says that we should also be always be responsible people who are dependent on us, or rather than who have taken shelter of us. So in that regard. In general case, generic case, Puranas also mention this act. So in that case, if someone, so how do we reconcile that actually? Someone who has taken shelter of us and we actually step back. So is that worth?
That is not the case here, no?
No, I'm saying that in this case it's fine, like because he has gone for higher purpose. But in generic, like if someone has taken shelter of someone,
yeah.
And but.
Every case has to be seen. Because there are so many rules and regulations of scriptures, the higher rule will always prevail. Right? So one has to see that what is the, in this case, this is the injunction, but there are different injunctions at different places given. That's how it is. So every case has to be seen. You know, it's not, you can't say, so generic rule is, a higher principle prevails over the lower principle. Fine? Okay, so take a break of 10 minutes. We'll begin at 11:30 as per this watch, and try to complete this chapter. It can be done. There is not much philosophy, nothing but discussion. You just have to go through. We are just to read it. Fine? Okay.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Chapter 14, the disappearance of Lord Krishna. Sampratisthe Dwarakayam Jishno Bandhud Dikshaya Gyatum Chapunya Shlokasya Krishnasya Cha Vicheshtitam.
Sri Suta Goswami said, Arjuna went to Dwarka to see Lord Sri Krishna and other friends and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities.
Baba saying the mission of the Lord was complete, right? He has annihilated the demons, established Maharaj Yudhishthir. Now Arjuna wants to know what is the next? Abhi aage ka program kya hai? Wo pata karne ke liye Arjuna was in Dwarka. Vatita kati chinmasas tadanaya tato Arjuna dadarsh ghor rupani nimittani kurudvaha.
A few months passed and Arjuna did not return. Maharaj Yudhishthira then began to observe some inauspicious omens which were fearful in themselves.
Okay, so Katichin Maasan, Arjuna had gone to Dwarka and few months already passed. And later it is revealed the 7 months had passed and Arjuna had not returned. Yudhishthira Maharaj notices some darsh ghor rupani, some very fearful omens, right, which are described. Shri Kalasya Chagatim Raudram Viparyas Taratu Dharmina Papi Yasim Nanam Vartam Krodaloba Nitatmanam.
He saw that the direction of eternal time has changed, and this was very fearful. There was disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood.
Right, so he's noticing many irregularities. Kalasya cha gatim rodram. So his gati is now very fearful, kal gati, right? Because ultimately it brings death. But anyway, many irregularities were taking place, and it is described that Prabhupada says that all these are the symptom of godless civilization, right? Whatever is mentioned over here, in that people had become very greedy, angry, deceitful. There were seasonal irregularities and they were adopting foul means of livelihood. Right? So all these are symptoms of godless civilization. Therefore Maharaj Yudhishthir, he suspected that probably the world has become godless. I mean, the Krishna may have actually departed. Text 4. Jimprayam vavahritam Shatya Mishram Chasauridam Pitramatra Suhrid Bratra Dampatni Nam Chakalkanam.
All ordinary transactions and dealings become polluted with cheatings, even between friends. And in family's affairs, there was always misunderstanding between father, mother, and sons, between well-wishers and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel.
Dampatni naam chakalkanam. Always, so he is noticing that everywhere there is a cheating. Right? All transactions are polluted by cheating. And between the very close family members, there are always misunderstandings and quarrels. Right? which one can see very commonly nowadays. And then Prabhupada says, a conditioned living being is endowed with four principles of malpractice, namely error, insanity, inability and cheating. It's the same as one commits mistake, one becomes deluded. Deluded is insanity. Then one has imperfect senses, which is inability and cheating. These are signs of imperfection, and out of the four, the propensity to cheat other is most prominent. Shathya, Mishram, Sauhridam, even well-wishers, close people, close friends, they were cheating each other. Right? Nimittani Atirishtani Kaleto Anugate Ninam Lobadhyadharma Dharma Prakritim Drishtvo Vachanujam Nipa.
In course of time, it came to pass that people in general became accustomed to greed, anger, pride, etc. Maharaj Yudhishthira, observing all these omens, spoke to his younger brother.
Okay, so Maharaj Yudhishthira observed that people have become accustomed to greed, anger and pride. Right? That means what he is observing, that is considered now normal way of life, you know, the greed, anger and pride. And now, not just normal, now these qualities are not just now acceptable, these qualities are glorified nowadays. You know, so he said, we are looking for a person who have a zeal to make fortune, you know. Greed, who has more greed? So this quality is glorified, right? Most greedy people, they are interviewed, and they are, right, all the business magazines, they will interview the most greedy people and inspire everyone to become more greedy, you know. They are glorified in the magazines, newspaper, that how, look, how they become, they gathered so many fortunes, right? Their greed is most glorious. Everyone should follow in their footsteps. They are the Mahajanas. Right? So these qualities, what Yudhishthira Maharaj observed, has become, people have become accustomed to. Now these qualities are being glorified. That these are the desirable qualities in Kali Yuga. Yeah? Everyone desires greed more and more. Then anger, you know, the passion is characterized by lust and anger, you know, the passion. So nowadays, everywhere, you know, I was just sharing that how we went to book distribution last year, and then so many companies I noticed, they were writing that we are being moved by passion, we are triggered by passion, we are propelled by passion. You know, the passion is the main thing they were advertising is the passion, you know. So like that. So the anger and the lust and the anger, they are glorified. Who has more passion? You know, that person, when they said, they glorify that this person has a real passion, you know, to exploit material nature, to enjoy the senses. And if any obstacle comes, he will become very angry. In his anger, he will remove all obstacles. That anger is glorified, the lust is glorified. These are glorified, right, in Kali Yuga. And pride, you know, people are saying, I am proud of my, people say, I am proud of my son who is very lusty, greedy, and angry, you know. Yes, like that, you know. Or I am proud of my deceitful state, you know. People take pride in people who have all these qualities. And the proud word is very common. People say, they feel that such a great quality that I am proud of this and this and this, you know. So people glorify this. These are not negative words nowadays, you know. They're positive words that, oh, you're not proud of your deceitful state, you're not proud of your, you know, whatever, you know. He said that these words are considered glorified, that not just acceptable nowadays. Right? So this is how it is. But Maharaj used to saw that people became just accustomed to these things, no? They didn't see anything wrong. Rather, their absence is seen as wrong nowadays. This is what he perceived at the time itself, you know.
Yudhishthira Uvacha.
Sampreshito Dwarkayam Jishnur Mandud Dikshaya Gyatum Chapunna Shlokasya Krishnasya Cha Visheshtitam.
Maharaj Yudhishthira said to his younger brother Bhimsen, I sent Arjuna to Dwarka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna of his program of work.
Text 7. So Maharaj Yudhishthira is speaking to Bhimsen now. Gata saptadu namasa Bhimsena tava nuja Nayatikasya vahetor Naham vede damanjasa.
Since he has departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I do not know factually how things are going there.
So, 7 months have passed and Maharaj Yudhishthira is worried. Api devirishin adishta sakaloyam upasthita dātmanoṅgam ākrīḍam bhagavān utsasikṣati.
Going to quit his earthly pastimes as Devarshi Narad indicated, has that time already arrived?
Right, so Devarshi Narad said, you wait for the time till Krishna is there. After that you may also leave, you know. Devarshi Narad had already said that. Right? Api Devarshi Adishta. So Maharaj Yudhishthira is suspecting, oh, what Devarshi Narad told, has that time already come? That Lord Krishna has departed or about to depart? Yes. Yeah. Just repeat the last line on the microphone. He said that the Lord is, when he comes to the material world, he plays like an actor. So last word you repeat, last line.
Is Yudhishthira Maharaj acting according to the will of the Lord, I mean, in that particular role that he's been placed into, or he's genuinely confused?
Okay, he's saying, no, Yudhishthira Maharaj inquiries are his genuine worries or is just a simple acting? See, first of all, I think we discussed some time back that the Lord acting is not pretense, first of all. So here the word acting is used in the sense that he's just like the actor may do so many things, but he's not affected. It's just that kind of acting, you know. And he is putting up a false show also in this world when an actor acts. But Krishna is his acting is facilitated in a way that he is completely absorbed in it. Right? And he forgets his Bhagavata when he is in certain acting, you know. So his acting is not just a false pretense, first of all. It's Krishna is absorbed in that role, first of all. But he is not affected by anything. Just like the actor is not affected. No, we know that the actor has not died. No, he will come another movie, etc. When we see that, oh, someone has killed the actor or something, the actor is not affected. So, therefore, even when what to talk of is pure devotees, right, pure devotees also descend with Krishna and they are also the part of. But then, when they are playing such roles, they are not putting any kind of pretense. They are actually going through all these feelings. Krishna was actually feeling fear. When he is expressing fear, he feels that fear. It's not simply... The actor may not feel, he may put a pretense of fear, right? The actor may not feel pain, but he may cry. But not like that. So here, their acting is not pretense. Their acting is actually real. It is conducted in the way. It is simply called acting because it's everyone is acting. The whole world has been described as a stage where everyone is coming and playing the part. So everyone is acting in the sense that it's not factual. it doesn't affect the soul. It's not factual, the things of this world, right? But actually the emotions, the expressions and the feelings are all real, whether it is experienced by the Lord or His devotees, right, who are assisting in His world. But they are real. That is to be. So it's not simply that that he understands the mood of the Lord and is putting a pretense of being worried. No, Maharaj is actually worried. Yeah, overall the pastime is being inspired by the Lord itself. Right? They come to play the part of overall, that is the overall direction we see, right? But now he's a king, right? So Narad Muni has indicated him something, he's seeing the bad omens, right? So it's not that we always see the ultimate sutra being governing, but there are many other things now in this role. So Maharaj Yudhishthira is at present he is governed by his concern that how are these bad omens, etc. Right? So we see this picture now, which is being shown, right? And ultimately we know. Ultimately, the whole pastime, the devotees come to assist him. That is not to be always not in that view we always see, you know. That is a broad picture. But now we are living a closer look. What is happening now in this situation? Maharaj Yudhishthira is what emotion is going through now. Right? His worries, his concern, etc.
Perspective.
Yeah.
He's received an instruction from Narada Muni to see things from Krishna's perspective. And Narada Muni has also revealed the Lord's plan to him. So he's just trying to understand what the Lord's plan is.
Narad Muni has not come. Narad Muni was the context of the last chapter.
Yes,
the Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Just continuing on.
Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Based on those instructions, he's now trying to see everything. I mean, he's trying to see what is the Lord's plan in this world. Is that what he's trying to do?
Yeah. See, basically, now he's just as a king, he's noticing that the things are. There are many irregularities happening, right? So he remembers that Narada Muni said that you be here only as long Krishna is here. So he thinks, oh, has the time come, right? So in here we are not seeing any esoteric meaning. It just in the context of what is happening, we are looking at the situation in what is being just happening. That is just now. That Lord Krishna has already disappeared, but now he is observing the symptoms. And he is just relating to what Narada said, that you be here till Lord Krishna is on this planet. Right? So in the light of that is seen. So it's the real emotions, real feelings, real expressions. It's not a pretense like drama. Right? So when you say drama, when you give analogy, which part of what does that analogy show? It's not that every aspect of drama will match to Krishna's pastime. You understand the point? So it's not every aspect. So that analogy of drama basically show that he is not affected when he comes and play. But it doesn't show that just like the actor puts up a pretense, Krishna puts up a pretense. But he's not affected by that. But he goes through the real expression and feelings. Okay, so yeah, now he's asking, he's expressing his concern, right? And he's in the role of king now. A king is expressing his concern, right? So we don't have to always see that he's a pure devotee in the light, in always, you know. We have to look the whole pastime from different perspective to learn different things also. What is the perspective of a king? What is his concern of a king? So then Prabhupada mainly talks about how should a king behave, or how should he govern, you know. So we take lessons from that. If you always look at the point of pure devotees, then you don't get broad understanding. Right? There are so many, from different perspectives we gain different kind of understanding. So we can't always apply the perspective that they have now descended from the spiritual world. But now he's a king. So king has his own concern. King has to govern. King is concerned about the citizens, right? So this perspective is being brought in over here. So now we have to learn from this perspective. Okay, so now he's he is saying that Devrishi Narada indicated, he is saying, expressing to Bhima, that has the time already arrived, right? And Prabhupada describes four different statements of Bhagavad Gita from the purport, that the different reasons given by the Lord why he advents, right? You see the four verses are quoted, and then Prabhupada explains that the Lord actually, that all the above statements by the Lord apply to different plenary portions of the Lord, namely his expansion, such as Sankarshan, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Niruddha and Narayan. These are all he himself in different transcendental expansion. And still Lord as Sri Krishna functions in different sphere of transcendental exchange with different grades of devotees. And then Prabhupada points out another thing toward the end of the purport. He says, when Maharaj Yudhishthir was lamenting the possibility of his disappearance, it was just in pursuance of a custom of lamenting the disappearance of a great friend. Right? But factually, he is aware of the truth. But now, this is, as I said, this is the perspective of a king. From the point of the king, he's behaving, and that perspective is being highlighted over here. Right? But the factual truth is that Krishna is eternal. There is no question of his that living, or you know. So he's eternal. Mahadishu knows that. But now his concern is mainly that of a king, right? He's this as a human being. And another meaning of the world, that the Lord left his body. And the Lord left his body means that he left again his plenary portions in the respective dhams. So it is clear that when the Lord comes, all his plenary portions, they come and join him. So when he leaves, he said when he left his body, he left all his expansions back to their positions. Right? So that's another meaning given. Okay, so we go to text 9. Yasmana sampado rajyam dara prana kulam praja asan sapatna vijayo lokascha yadnanugrahat.
From him only all our kingly opulence, good wives, lives, progeny, control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us.
Okay, so Prabhupada brings the point that all material prosperity has to be considered as a causeless mercy of the Lord. If one has any kind of prosperity, one should consider it as a causeless mercy of the Lord. Okay? So, a king should always be grateful that if his kingdom is flourishing, it's causeless mercy of the Lord. Right? That's this perspective we are looking. And then, again, there is another perspective that the greater causeless mercy of the Lord is when he takes away all the opulence from a person who is progressing, right, spiritually towards him. Right? But anyway, we don't have to bring always so many perspective. And in this point of time, Prabhupada just say that everyone who is prosperous in this material world, he should know that it's the causeless mercy of the Lord. Right? That perspective should be important. So any rich person, any wealthy person, any person said, oh, you have all these opulences, it's the causeless mercy of the Lord. It should be seen like that. It's important. Because without the sanction of the Lord, no one can actually get anything. Prabhupada says good or bad. The sanction of the Lord has to be there. Right? Text 10. Pashyotpatana narvyagra Divyan Bhoman Sadehikan दारुणांश शमशतो दूरा भयम नो बुद्धि मोहनम.
द सी ओ मैन विद अ टाइगर स्ट्रेंथ, हाउ मेनी मिजरीज ड्यू टू सेलेस्टियल इन्फ्लुएंसेस earthly reactions and bodily pains, all very dangerous in themselves, are forbearing dangers in the near future by deluding our intelligence.
Right, so basically the threefold miseries, Divyan, Bhauman, Sa Dehikan. So the threefold miseries are creating fear in us. He is noticing all this and sharing with Bhimsen. Urvakshi Bahavo Mahiyam स्वरंते अंग पुना पुना विप्थुष्चा पीरिदये आराधास्यंति विप्रियम.
The left side of my body, my thighs, arms and eyes are all are quivering again and again. I am having heart palpitation due to fear. All this indicates undesirable happenings.
Okay, so now text 11 to 20, 10 verses describe various bad omens which are visible in Maharaj Yudhishthira's body or on the land or in the sky. Right? So at various places, including my own body, these symptoms, these bad omens Maharaj Yudhishthira observed. Right? And he describes that. And Prabhupada gives in general understanding that these bad omens indicate aradasyanti vipriyam or apriyam. Something, priya means something what you want, desirable. And vipriyam, something undesirable is going to happen. So these bad omens indicate something undesirable will happen. So the 10 verses describe this. Inauspicious or bad omens. Sorry? No, that was the actual thing. These are bad omens. He observed that this is happening. Right? Now, in the people, their behavior, right? That was not the omens. Omens are given now. Right? The people are becoming accustomed to lust, greed and pride and all that. But the change in the behavior of the people, the change in the season, all the changes. But now he sees some bad omens indicating that something undesirable is going to happen. And Prabhupada says material existence is full of undesirables. This material existence itself is a bad omen. Right? So that one has to first understand, right? All other so things then are secondary. And Prabhupada gives that all these kind of bad omens are compared to fire in a forest, right? These undesirables. The fire can be extinguished only by the mercy of the Lord who sends clouds to pour water on the forest. Right? So the solution to all these undesirable things or bad omens is basically to achieve the mercy of the Lord. Shaivoshadyantam adityam abhirote analanana mamangasharmeyoyam abhirebhatyabhiruvat.
Just see, O Bhima, how the sea jackal cries at the rising sun and vomits fire, and how the dog barks at me fearlessly.
So the omens on the earth are being described. शस्ता कुर्वन्ति मांसव्यम् नक्षिणं पशवोपरे वहांसा पुरुष व्याघ्रा Lakshayerudatomama.
O Bhimsen, tiger among men. Now useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side, and lower animals like the asses are circumventing. My horses appear to whip upon seeing me.
Okay, so when you have something desirable or any auspicious object, you circumambulate pradakshina, keeping on the right. We circumambulate deity and all that. So he's saying, now the useful animal are circumambulating me, keeping me on the left. Another inauspicious. And the useless, fearful other animals, they are circumambulating me, keeping me on the right. Should, you know? So it's the opposite, it's a bad omen.
Mrityu duta kapatoyam. Uluka kampayan mana. Pratyulukas cha kuhuvanir. Sa kuhuvanir vishvam vaishunyam ichchata.
Just see, this pigeon is like a messenger of death. The shrieks of the owls and their rival crows make my heart tremble. It appears that they want to make a void of the world universe.
Vishwam vai shunyam ichchata. It's looked at, the world will become void by the shrieks of the owls and the crows. Dhumra disha paridhyaya. Kampate bhusadribhi nirghatascha mahamstat sakam chastani itnubhi.
Just see how the smoke encircles the sky. It appears that the earth and mountains are throbbing. Just hear the cloudless thunder and see the bolts from the blue.
There are no clouds, but they are still thunderbolts. Okay. So, text 16, Vayurvati Kharasparsho Rajasa Vijrasam Stama Vistrajam Vastrik Varshanti Jalada Vivatsam Iva Sarvata.
The wind blows violently, blasting dust everywhere and creating darkness. Clouds are raining everywhere with bloody disasters.
Suryam Hat Prabham Pashya Grahamardam Mitho Divi Shushankulair Bhutaganair Jolite Iva Rodasi.
The rays of the sun are declining and the stars appear to be fighting amongst themselves. Confused living entities appear to be ablaze and weeping.
Nadyo nadascha shubita sharamsi cha manamsi cha na jalatyaganir ajayen Kaloyam kim vidhasyati.
Rivers, tributaries, ponds, reservoirs and the mind are all perturbed. Butter no longer ignites fire. What is this extraordinary time? What is going to happen?
Okay, so describe the various symptoms on the land, in the sky. Right, the wind is blowing, the smoke is encircling the sky, and then in the water, at river tributaries and ponds, they are all perturbed. So at every place he is seeing these bad omens. So he is thinking, what is going to happen now? Kalo yam kim vidhasyati. What is the kal going to bring? Napibanti stanam vatsa. नाधुयन्ति च मातरात् रुदन्ति अश्रुमुखा गावो नाहृष्यन्ति ऋषभा व्रजे.
Calves do not suck the taste the cows, nor do the cows give milk. They are standing, crying, tears in their eyes, and the bulls take no pleasure in the prostrating ground.
Okay, the bad omens in the bodies of other living entities, in his own body, in the land, in the sky, in the water, in the bodies of other living entities. So everywhere these bad omens are being observed. Devatani rudanti va. श्रुदयन्ति है उच्छलन्ति च इमे जनपदा ग्रामा पुरोद्यान आकराश्रमा भ्रष्टश्रियो निरानन्द किमगम दर्शयन्ति ना.
The deities seem to be crying in the temple, lamenting and perspiring. This seem about to leave. All the cities, villages, towns, gardens, mines and hermitages are now devoid of beauty and bereft of all happiness. I do not know what sort of calamities are now awaiting us.
Mano vigyata no vagyata kim vatat chiroshita.
My brother Arjun, please tell me whether your health is all right. You appear to have lost your bodily lustre. Is this due to other disrespecting and neglecting you because of your long stay at Dwarika?
Okay, so Arjuna didn't reply to those questions. Right? All the questions he asked about the welfare of each of the Yadu members, Arjuna didn't reply. Therefore, now Yudhishthira asks, are you well? Is your health good? Right? I hope nothing is wrong with you. Yeah, since you are looking so dejected and you are not replying. Right? First of all, are you well? So now, in 6 verses, he asked about the welfare of Arjuna, who was not replying. Right? And So here in this saying that whether your health is all right, you have appeared to lost body lustre, bhrasht teja. Did you disrespect somebody? Right? Go to text 40. Kachin nabihato bhave. Shabdadi bhira mangale. नादत्तमुक्तमर्थिभ्या आशया यत् प्रतिश्रुतम्.
Has someone addressed you with unfriendly words or threatened you? Could you not give charity to one who asked, or could you not keep your promise to someone?
Okay, so there could be various reasons that a person may become dejected and lose his luster. Right? These are 2 things he observed. So Maharaj is asking, are you feeling dejected and you have lost your body lustre due to you being disrespected or having bad health? Right? Bad health, the person becomes dejected and he loses his lustre, right? So all this due to other reasons also, which Maharaj mentioned in this 6 verses, a person may lose his body lustre and may become dejected. Right? So if he said, did someone address you in unfriendly way or threatened you, or could you not give the charity which you promised?
Kachitvam brahmanam balam gam vriddham roginam striyam sharanopashritam satvam natyakshu sharanaprada. You are always the protector of deserving living beings, such as brahmanas, children, cows, women and deceased. Could you not give them protection when they approach you for shelter?
Right. If the kshatriya is not able to give protection to those who are dependents, then he loses his bodily lustre and he becomes dejected.
Kachitam
क्वचित्तम नागमोगम्याम गम्याम वासात्कृतम स्त्रियम पराजितो वाथ भवान नुत्मैर्नाशमयपथि
नाशमयपथि. Have you contacted a woman of impreachable character, or have you not properly treated a deserving woman, or have you been defeated on the way someone who is inferior or equal to you?
All this could be reasons. Api svitparya bhungtastvam sambhojayan vritbalakan jugupsitam karma kinchet
Kritvanayadakshaman. Have you not taken care of old men and the boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistakes which is considered to be abominable?
Kachit preshthat menath हृदयेनात्म बंधुना शून्योस्मि रहितो नित्यम मन्यसेते अन्यथा नरोक.
Or is it that you are feeling empty for all the time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for your becoming a dejected.
Right. So finally, again, Maharaj Yudhishthira say the same thing which he guessed at the very beginning, seeing the irregularities which all the omens indicated to him. Right? Seeing the irregularities, Maharaj Yudhishthira thought, oh, probably Lord Krishna may have, what Narada spoke may have come true. And all seeing all the bad omens, he thought, maybe the earth has become bereft of the great fortune. Right? And then seeing Arjuna being so dejected, right? Again, he came to the conclusion, the same conclusion. So you see, so Maharaj Yudhishthira, although he's getting the feeling, but he's saying, probably it may not have happened, you know, probably is this the reason? You understand, when a person is very concerned and he's very fearful of some news, he's trying to say that probably that has not happened. It could be something else, you know. It could be something else. So he's trying to say, oh, probably you are looking so dejected because no, you disrespected something or something, you could not give protection to somebody, you know, etc. All these reasons, probably let any of this reason come true, you know, let the reason which I am suspecting. But finally, when Arjuna is not speaking, finally he said, is it that your dearest friend Krishna has actually disappeared? And finally, what he was not being able to get any other answer from Arjuna. You see, the whole thing is the emotions of Yudhishthira Maharaj over here. Right? So the emotion of Yudhishthira Maharaj over here. He's trying to see, probably this may not be the reason. Right? Checking out any other possibility that could be there for Arjuna dejection. Not finally finding out. Therefore he says, Shunyosmi rahito nityam manase te anyatha naruk. I cannot see of any other reason that Kachid Preshthatamen is the most dear one. Right? That the or Hidayan Atma Bandhuna, who was most intimate to your heart, right? Who was your own friend Bandhuna, that I don't see any other reason other than that he may have actually disappeared. Right? And Prabhupada says, all the inquisitiveness of Maharaj Yudhishthira about the world situation was already conjectured by Maharaj Yudhishthira on the basis of Lord Krishna's disappearance from the vision of the world. And this was now disclosed by him. It was already conjectured by him, seeing the world situation, Prabhupada is saying. And now he is finally saying that. And this was now disclosed by him because of acute dejection of Arjuna, which could not have been possible otherwise. So even though he was doubtful about it, he was obliged to inquire frankly from Arjuna on the basis of Sri Narada's indication. जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद।